Oh, praise the Lord, because He is worthy. He is worthy to be lifted up. He is worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. There is no other God like our God. He alone is worthy. Lord, You are worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You all may be seated. Welcome to Morning Manor. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. There are a lot of other places you could be this morning on this earth. I'm clarifying because it's on this earth. If you are in heaven, there's no better place to be. But on this earth, there's no better place to be but in service this morning with us, serving the Lord, the great God, the great I am. Oh, hallelujah. I just get excited when I get to the house of the Lord. Sister Beth, I got to give you a title. She always looks at me. She comes, hunts us down, and I'm thinking, oh, here she comes. I saw her coming down the hallway this morning. I started to hide under the desk like a little kid, but you know what? Before I could get there, she was right in front of my face. Can you stand? We're just going to read one verse of Scripture, then I'm going to give you a title. It comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. A familiar verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Understand something. When you come to God, you have to understand that He is God, and there is no other God besides Him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shall we pray this morning? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, we have come in this service for one purpose, Father. That is to lift up Your name, oh, Heavenly Father, because You said if You be lifted up from the earth, You would draw all men unto You, Father. It's only by Your grace and Your mercy and Your love that we're able to come into this sanctuary this morning, Father. Let us never forget it was Your touch of Your guardian angels this morning that woke us again once more from our sleep, Father, that opened our eyes, Father, that allowed us to be able to use our arms and our legs and our voice and our eyes and our ears, Father. For everything that we have belongs to You, Father. Let us give it back to You today in this service that You receive our glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen, amen. You may be seated. Oh, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to see how this service goes because I've tried to stay away from this service. I've tried to stay away from this and I've tried to figure out what to do with it. But I'm going to read some scripture because I got to lay it upon. But I brought some magnets. You know, you're a little kid, you like to play with magnets. I don't know if you like to play with magnets. But I've got some magnets because I want to illustrate a point to you. I want you to understand something as I begin to go through this lesson. First of all, you've got to understand that God is God. I don't care what the world begins to tell you about God, He is God. Let me explain something to you. When you begin in the book of Genesis, it begins by saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Understand something. Man did not create heaven and earth. Man did not create anything here. It was created by God. Understand what I'm trying to establish, because you got the evolutionists out there. You got the tree huggers out there, those who believe in reincarnation. But I'm here today to tell you they're all wrong. There's not but one book that tells the truth and tells the beginning of how all things began. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, so it says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. So God created man. But remember that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So God said, let us make man. So God created man in His own image. Man had a spirit, but man did not have a place of that spirit to dwell. Understand, follow me along. So we get a little further in the story. Still working? Because I don't know. I get carried away up here. And then it said in chapter 2, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Understand something. Man, that Spirit of God. Now God reaches down and grabs some dust and creates us out of the dust of the ground. But understand something. It was just dust until the Spirit of God came into man. Understand what I'm trying to tell you this morning. God created man, breathed the breath of life into man, and man then became a living soul. Understand what I'm trying to tell you. You didn't just evolve out of the water. You didn't come from the monkeys. You didn't come from something else. But God created you exactly the way he wanted you to be. Give me Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. I'm just laying the foundation here for where I'm trying to go. I want you to read it. Let me know when you get there, Sister Beth. He tells later, he says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Understand something. We are just pilgrims passing through this world. This body that we dwell in is just a temporary home. It's just earthly. It's made out of dust, and we're going to go back to dust, this earthly body. But the Spirit that we dwells within us is actually going to return to God who gave it. In Ezekiel 18 and 4, what did he say? He said, all souls are mine. So understand what I'm trying to establish. You belong to God from the beginning. You did not belong to the world. You did not belong to the devil. You belong to God. You need to begin to understand who you belong to. See, we live in a society that people begin to say, you know what? I'm my own man. I can do what I want to do. It's my body. I can do what I want to. I want you to stop along the line and think how crazy that stands. People say, I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. So I thought about that. I said, you know what? I'm my own man. Think about what they're really saying. Somewhere they created themselves, climbed into their mother's womb, came out of their mother's womb, and then was here on the earth. There is no way that makes sense. They cannot be a self-made man. The only reason they're on this earth is because God ordained them to be on this earth for this day, this time, and this moment. Now, I don't care how you got here on the face of the earth. We can talk about it through earthly eyes. But let me tell you something this morning. It was still ordained by God for you to be here on this earth for this day, this time, and this moment. See, he saw everything taking place from the beginning of time until the end of time. He said, what? I am the author, the beginning, the ending, the beginning. I'm telling today to tell you, you understand something. There is no such thing as a self-made man. God made man. I'm here today to tell you, I'm glad that God made man. But we live in a society that wants to change everything about man. If you don't like the way you look, you can go down and see the plastic surgeon, and he can do a little work on you and change you around. If you can't afford that, you can go down and get your little makeup and put it on your face. You can change that. You said, I don't like my hair. I can dye my hair. I'm here today to tell you, you can change a lot of things on the outside, but when it comes to changing the inside, there ain't but one way to change the inside. You got to allow God to come on the inside and begin to change you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You got to understand, people are seeking to change the outside, but it's the inside that needs some work done to it. I'm telling you right now, they spend thousands of dollars, but they got to begin to understand what the real issue is. Man had reached a point that he begins that he thinks he's as good as God. Well, I don't need God. I don't need that religion. I don't need that Jesus. Let me tell you, you're right. You're right. You don't need him until he steps up one day and taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, can I have my breath back? If you don't mind, I'd like to have it back. And all of a sudden, that's a different story. I tell people, when you're a little kid, you ran around, and every kid did it. You fell off your bike, you knocked the wind out of yourself. All of a sudden, it wasn't so funny because you're laying on the ground trying to think, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. But understand something I'm trying to teach you this morning is the only reason we're alive is because God's breath is still inside of us. Ezekiel goes to the valley of dry bones. Understand something. They were dry bones. And everything came. He said, prophesy, Ezekiel, to the dry bones. Ezekiel prophesied, and the Bible says the bones came back together. The Bible says sinew came upon the bones. But let me tell you something. They were still dead bones until something else took place. He said, Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind. And when the wind came, all of a sudden, David, the dry bones became living bones. I'm here today to tell you, you became a living soul when God came inside of you. There's a lot of people out there walking around what I call the living dead. They living, but they dead. You begin to live and really live when you come to God. Let me explain something to you as I'm trying to hurry along. The Bible says, first of all, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Pastor did a great job on Wednesday night talking about holiness. He did a great job for those that were not here on Wednesday night with holiness. When you truly understand how holy God is, then only then will we realize how far we've really fallen and realize we can't get back there by ourselves. When we think we can get back there by ourselves, we're just as crazy as a man who thinks he can pull himself up by his own boots. We can get back up there without something taking place. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me tell you something. We all sit around sometime and we talk about, well, you know what? My sin is not as bad as the other guy. Well, I didn't do that. Well, I'm not that bad. Let me give you a visual picture of that. Think of this morning. If you 1 inch under the water with your head, you 1 foot under the water with your head, you 1 mile under the water with your head, guess what? You still drown. Listen, you're still drowning. But we want to say, well, I'm not as that bad as that guy 100 feet underwater. Guess what? You're still breathing in water. And whether you've been in a swimming pool or you've been in a lake, all of a sudden you start drinking water, you realize it's not as funny a swim as I thought it was. This water's a lot deeper. And I've been there. I don't know if you've ever been there. You're trying to hurry up and get to the surface of the water. What you trying to get to the surface of the water for? Because I know there is air at the surface. I know I need some air in my lungs. I'm here today to tell you, I know a great God that wants to put air back in our lungs. But understand something. He reminds us something else. He says, besides, he says, I am God, and I change not. Understand what I'm saying? He changes not. What I tell people is, he says, I love you, but I'm not going to change the rules of the game for you. He says, I want you to go to heaven, but you got to go my way. We sometimes want to go to heaven, but we want to go our way. Well, people outside, I can go to St. Louis any kind of way. Let me tell you something. You go to St. Louis and you go west on I-44, it's a long ways around to get to St. Louis. I need to tell you, you're going to go west on 44. But eventually, you're going to come to California and there's no more land. Now, you got to figure out how to get across the water to make that full circle, which is something you're not going to be able to do. I don't care what kind of car you got. Okay? You know, years ago, Volkswagen made the car called the Thing. You remember that car? That car that had the wheels on it, they could go in the water. It never crossed the Pacific Ocean. So you may be able to get to California, but it's a long ways around. Understand something. If you want to get to God, there's a straight way to get to God. The Bible says, humble thyself under the almighty hand of God, and he will exalt thee in due season. But we live in a society that says, I don't need God. I've got everything I need right now. And the Bible tells us what's going on right there with them. They got some pride that's come up inside them. All of a sudden, they began to look around and say that I'm on the same plane with God. We will never be on the same plane with God. You know, it's like going to God and says, you know what, God? I need your mercy, but I'm going to tell you how I want you to give me mercy. A person who needs forgiveness can never tell a person who's given forgiveness how to give it to them. You can't do that. We all say we want to go to heaven, but we have to go God's way. Give me Proverbs verse 16 and verse 18. I got the magnets here for a reason. I've got to lay the foundation because I got to get you where I need to go. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, hold on to that one. But where does pride come from? Give me Mark 7, 21 and 22. She's going to get there. She's giving it to me. I got to give it to her. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulterous, fornication, murderers, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Where are these coming from? It's from the heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked, and no man knoweth the heart. The minute we think we know the heart, it somehow trips us up. I think I can work my way through it. It's always when we think about a situation, we always look at it in our advantage. We think we know how it's going to work out, but we always think it's going to work out in our better interest. We never ask ourselves, what happens if I don't work out? It's like the little boy who decides I'm going to swim across the lake today, but never says, what happens if I don't make it? Oh, I can make it across that lake. But you have to answer the question when your heart starts propping up. It's not about my heart. That's why David said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way of what? Everlasting life. We got to come to a point where we're going to say, Lord, search me. Whatever's going on, Lord, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost for all eternity. Oh, no, I don't want to be lost for all eternity, Lord. Only you and you alone can save me. Let me tell you something. You got to also begin to understand when we talk about talking to God, when we go to God, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Brother Brent hit on it a couple weeks ago when he talked from 1 Timothy 3 and 16. What does it say? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed unto the world, and received up into glory. We all accept that. For God was. God was. But he and I were talking about it. But there is more to this story. There is no way Trinity exists. It cannot exist. John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. What did Jesus say? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, for I and the Father are one. Now, remember I talked to you just now about 1 Timothy 3 and 16? Brother Brent and I talked about it. Give me Acts chapter 1 as I hurry along. Give me verse. We're going to read from verse 10. This is as Jesus, as we get ready, if he gets ready to go. I'll pick up at verse 9. When he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up. Who was taken up? Jesus was. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them, white apparel, which also said unto you, men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. Jesus. Remember 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 16? For God was. There he is again. Understand something. I need you to understand. They are the same. Malachi 3 and 6, he speaks. For he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you men of Jacob, are you not consumed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? I change not. I change not. I change not. He doesn't change. What happens is we have to change. We have to be willing to change. I got the magnets because I need you, as I come to a close today, to begin to understand something. Men are going south when they think they're going north. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but it leadeth unto destruction. It leadeth in the wrong direction. What's wrong? He is all turned around. He is going in the right, wrong direction, the wrong direction. I'm going to lay this mic down because I got to be able to show you something. I'm going to just talk. Hope you can catch this as I talk about it.
There are three groups of people in the world. Those that say, I don't need God. You know what happens? Here's another magnet. They think they're north. And what happens is, they try and come to God. And what you realize, when you try and bring two same ends of the magnet together, they cannot come together, folks. They cannot. Listen to me. You cannot be on the same plane with God. You cannot come to him thinking, I'm in charge. I'm going to tell God how to forgive me. I'm going to tell God how to live. So what happens, you show up in your pride saying, I'm going to do this. Those two ends cannot come together. I don't care whether you come in front of it, on the side. It doesn't work, folks. It doesn't work. You got to, what did Jesus say? If any man will come after me, he must what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. John the Baptist, who when he was in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. The Bible says when Mary came to his house and John the Baptist heard about Mary, what did the Bible say? The baby jumped. The baby jumped. John the Baptist said something. John the Baptist, the Bible tells us that those who are going to be least in the kingdom of heaven are going to be more than John the Baptist. Even John the Baptist was willing to say, he must increase and I must decrease. I must get out of the way. I must take myself and take my flesh and get out of the way and let's say, Lord, have your own way. Whatever it takes, I must be saved. Pastor always talked about it, and Bishop always talked about it. Repentance. Repentance. The first thing you got to do is change the way you think. The way your heart's got to change. Your actions will follow. So what happens? All of a sudden, instead of you trying to come like this, you say, you know what? I've got to come and change. So there's a 180-degree change. The things you used to do, you don't want to do anymore. Because why? God has come inside. He says, what? You are a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't say the things I used to do. I don't go where I used to go. It's not whether I can go. It's that I don't want to go anymore. I've got a new preacher. I got a new leader. I traded in the devil. Why? Because Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know what? I was lost. I was lost. So what happened? You say, I come to God. But there are two things that happen. Some people come to God. Follow me. Some people come to God. And they get attached. You know what that means? I'm attached. You're attached. But you know what happens? The Bible says we get blown about by every wind. Everything that comes along. You know why? Because we loosely attached. Understand what I'm saying? When the wind of your life starts blowing, the storms start blowing, guess what happens to you? Well, guess what happens? If I shake this around like that, boom. You know what happened? The storms came into my life. The storms came. But what happened, what really has to happen, you have to get to a point that you submit yourself to God. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, you find yourself solidly attached, and guess what happens? I don't care what storm comes. Now, I'm fully attached to them. And you know what? The storm can't separate me from God. I serve a God that's all-powerful. I serve a God that's all-knowing, that knows the beginning from the ending. I'm telling you today, you all got to do is submit to God. Can you stand as I come to a close today? I want somebody to know something in this place today. I don't want anybody to walk out of this place. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 58. I want you to listen to what he says. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Let me know. Oh, Brother Long is running it. Okay. I know what this is, but I'll read it. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable. We live in a day and age where everything is being shaken. Everything is being shaken. But when you leave here today, I don't want your faith to be shaken. For he said, he that cometh to me, blessed believe that I am the God who is. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This relationship here
between God and me is not dependent upon God. Let me tell you something. It's not dependent upon God. You know, it's dependent upon really how much of God you want. If you want a little bit on the side, you have a little bit. But you deal with the storm. A little bit underneath, you have a little bit. But it all depends on how much you want. But what did God say? He says,
I'm the rock. Okay? I'm the rock. I'm the rock. If the rock is the rock, it's stable. It's not moving. It's not going anywhere. But the question you have to ask yourself is, how much do I want? When you go out to eat, or you sit under the table to eat, a lot of times most of us have more food than what we know what to do with. Picture that preparation, that meal is God himself. You determine how much you eat. Not the person who cooked the meal. Because the majority of the time, there's more food on that table than you could ever eat. But you determine how much you eat. And how much you eat depends on how hungry you are. Let me be honest with you. You determine how hungry you are, determines how much you eat. How hungry you are for God is not determined how much God. Because God can give you more God than you can handle. Oh, yeah. He can give you more God than you can handle. But the real question is, how much God do I really want? If we really admit to ourselves, what God, what we really want, we want all of you. We want all of you. I'm here today to tell you, I don't want anybody to walk out of this sanctuary today worrying about your relationship with God. He said he came to seek and to save those which were lost. Today is a day of salvation. I don't know what this afternoon is going to bring. I don't know what the next week is going to bring. None of us know when our last breath is going to be. You don't know that answer. None of us know when that angel is going to show up and tap us on the shoulder and say this journey is over. And it's a journey. It's not the end of the story. It's a journey over. I don't want anybody here today to miss heaven. Shall we pray as we close? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, you alone are worthy, Father. Father, you have the all power in heaven and earth is given unto you, Father. Father, you came to seek and to save those which were lost, Father. Father, I know this was just a simple message, Father, but your magnetism, you are able to draw all men unto you, Father. Father, we come in your holy name, Lord. Let somebody say, Father, have your own way in my life, Lord. Lord, search me and know my heart, Father. Lord, I don't want to be lost, Father. Whatever storms come my way, Father, I know you're the author of the storm, Father. You step out in the middle of the storm, Father. You speak, peace be still unto my storm, Father. Father, you take me by my hands and lead me, Father. When I don't know where to go, Father, I know to go to my knees. Sometimes all I
can say is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Father. Now go with us, Father. Keep us and guide us until we come again at 1 o'clock. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Oh, you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. There are small groups